Let's start with a fascinating phenomenon in music history, the birth of sampling. Now imagine this, it's the 1950s in Paris, and a man named Pierre Schaeffer is hunched over a reel-to-reel tape recorder. But instead of simply documenting sound, he's slicing it, splicing it, and shaping it like clay. He called this approach musique concrète. The idea was radical for its time, treating sounds not as background noise or mere recordings, but as raw material for creating something entirely new. Schaeffer would take train whistles, footsteps, you name it, and transform them into these beautifully reimagined soundscapes. And what's so fascinating is that his work wasn't just about the music. It was about rethinking how we interact with sound, how we frame the ordinary in ways that make it extraordinary. That philosophy, you know, of sampling goes beyond art. It's about creative recontextualization, a perspective that's still deeply relevant today. Now, fast forward to the late 20th century, and we see samplers like the EMU SP-1200 coming into play. These machines offered limited memory, just seconds of sound. But that restriction, it pushed artists to get really creative with their loops and layering. Think of it like a puzzle where the fewer pieces you have, the more you have to innovate to create the bigger picture. I mean, it's the same kind of resourcefulness that connects directly to how GPTs work, taking pre-existing data and recombining it into something meaningful. It's all about making the most out of, well, constraints. When I first stumbled upon DJ Shadow's groundbreaking album, Introducing, that it all clicked for me. He took fragments of old records, jazz chords, vinyl crackles, you could almost hear like the weight of history in it, and wove them into these really stunning, immersive compositions. It's like giving forgotten sounds a second life, you know? It reminded me then, as it does now, that sampling isn't just about recycling. It's about transformation, making something resonate in an entirely different way. So let's talk about this fascinating intersection where technology meets creativity. GPTs, or generative pre-trained transformers, aren't just tools for text generation. They kind of operate like, well, remix engines. Just like in music production, where sounds are layered, looped, and transformed, GPTs combine and remix data to create something new. The magic here? It's all in the process. Take attention mechanisms, for example. These are like dynamic mixing tools in a studio. They help GPTs focus on the most relevant frequencies, you know, so to speak, within a given prompt. It's like EQing a track. You've got all these layers of sound, or in GPT's case, text data, and the model adjusts the emphasis dynamically to create a contextually rich and nuanced output. I mean, it's like the soundboard of the digital world shaping the response in real time. Now, if we think about creativity, let's consider constraints, those limits that force us to rethink and innovate. In music sampling, hardware like the EMU SP-1200 had these very tight memory restrictions. Artists could only sample, what, a few seconds of sound? But within those limits, musicians like J. Dilla created masterpieces. He'd deliberately avoid quantization, the automatic alignment of beats, to infuse his tracks with this raw human feel. And I think, you know, that's where the beauty lies. Not despite the constraints, but because of them. With GPTs, the constraints are different, but equally impactful. The model doesn't create from scratch. It draws from pre-trained data. This makes prompting, the way you guide the output, an art form in itself. Like a producer tweaking a beat, refining your prompt, or adjusting your phrasing can dramatically shift the model's response. It's an iterative process, one that's as much about shaping what exists as it is about exploring new possibilities. And finally, let's look at the architecture of a transformer model. It's a bit like layering in music production, where multiple tracks come together to form a cohesive whole. Each layer in a GPT adds depth, pulling from its training data to dynamically weigh and combine relationships between words. It's similar to how a producer might blend melodies, bass lines, and rhythms into a single unified track. There's this inherent complexity, you know, but when done right, both processes create something that feels seamless, even effortless. When we talk about designing systems like GPTs, one of the most powerful ideas we can borrow from sampling is the concept of exploration. Think about how beat-making tools like the SP-1200 or even something modern like Serato Studio encourage artists to play, They aren't just about efficiency, they're about discovery. Every knob, every button, every limitation in those tools pushes the user toward experimentation. It's an experience that, you know, almost invites curiosity to take center stage. Now, if you apply that same idea to GPT interfaces, it's clear that what we need are exploration-centric designs. Instead of just presenting output like it's set in stone, interfaces could show users visible histories of prompts, maybe even let them tweak modular pieces of text to see how changes ripple through the system. I mean, that would transform the interaction from just consumption to actual participation. It would feel more like remixing language than simply reading it. And honestly, this approach isn't just about aesthetics or cool features. It's about how these systems can better align with human creativity, which is inherently iterative. Remember, with music samplers, the loop isn't perfect on the first pass. You rework it layer by layer until it starts to feel right. GPTs offer that same potential, but the tools we use to engage with them, they're still catching up, still stuck in this efficiency over play mindset. There's something deeply philosophical here, too. The idea that UX isn't just about usability, but about fostering these generative mindsets. A great interface doesn't just perform a task. It invites a user to explore possibilities, to remix, to make meaning from, well, fragments of information. That's why tools like Koala Sampler or even playful text projects by artists like Allison Parrish resonate so deeply. They don't just work, they encourage you to create. And ultimately, if AI is going to extend human creativity, then UX has to become more than functional. It has to be inspiring, open-ended, even a little unpredictable, like a good sample-based beat. That's where the magic comes from. Sampling also allows to reflect more deeply on the ethical issues embedded in the creative process. The history of music sampling is full of debates over ownership and originality. Take, for instance, Grand Upright Music versus Warner Brothers in the early 90s. This landmark case, where Biz Markie's use of a sample led to a massive shift in copyright law, set the stage for how we view intellectual property in the electronic and hip-hop genres. These debates aren't just legal battles. They're cultural questions, really, about what it means to create and recreate in a collaborative world. Now, fast forward to today, and AI is sitting squarely in the middle of a similar storm. Generative AI, especially GPTs, is built on existing data, books, websites, articles, vast amounts of human effort. But here's the problem. That data wasn't exactly volunteered. It's a bit like crate digging for records. Except instead of a dusty record store, imagine pulling from every library shelf without asking permission. It raises real ethical concerns about consent, ownership, and transparency in using data to train these systems. But there's hope here. Some initiatives are starting to shift this narrative. For example, in the music world, platforms like Tracklib provide pre-cleared samples for artists to use, socially normalizing ethical reuse. In AI, we could learn from that. Imagine GPT systems where data sources are transparent, showing users exactly where the patterns they're interacting with came from. This could empower creators to trace intellectual lineages and even opt in or out of being sampled. It's a potential path forward that balances creativity with respect for origin. An open and transparent dialogue with artists is essential. Open and expanding creativity is the real test for a sustainable working model. Then there's the idea of artificial augmented intelligence, or AII, which flips the script on how we think about machine learning systems. Instead of pushing for greater machine independence, these fully autonomous AI black boxes we often hear about, AI envisions a more collaborative model. One where humans and AI work together in a kind of give and take, enhancing, not replacing, human creativity. It's like having a skilled remix partner. Think about Holly Herndon training an AI vocal clone using her own voice. It wasn't about letting the AI run amok. It was about guiding it, embedding her identity into the process. And honestly, we see examples of what this could look like in design tools today. Serato Studio, for instance, is a music tool that's all about encouraging exploration. It provides a space to try ideas, layer sounds, and manipulate rhythms freely. Not to finalize an answer, but to open up possibilities. If GPT-based systems evolve in a similar direction, we can imagine interfaces that don't just churn out text, but allow users to sculpt it, to experiment with context and actually play with language in a dynamic, interactive way. These shifts, ethical transparency, and collaborative systems represent a massive opportunity. If we can embed these principles into how we design and use tools like GPT, we're looking at systems that don't just reflect human creativity, but actually amplify it. That's the real potential here, a chance to reshape how we think about intelligence and making meaning together. With all we've discussed so far, I think it's clear that sampling, whether it's in music or in the way GPTs operate, shows us something profound about creativity. That it's not about creating from nothing, it's about remixing, layering, and responding. In essence, creativity is iterative. It grows from the interplay of materials, ideas, and, just as importantly, people. This, to me, is the heart of what makes the remix mindset so powerful. But let's take it a step further. If intelligence itself, whether human or machine, is rooted in remixing patterns, what does that mean for the future of collaboration between humans and AI? It's not about AI surpassing us, you know, replacing us. It's about extending our capabilities, enhancing how we think, how we create, even how we understand. This collaborative future isn't just possible. It's already happening in small ways, like when a producer manipulates a beat, or when a creator refines a GPT prompt to iteratively explore new ideas. And speaking of the future, the vision is so much bigger than just tools that work efficiently. Imagine systems designed like samplers, modular, open-ended, transparent. Systems that don't just respond to us, but adapt with us, that evolve as we explore, that spark that same sense of play and curiosity we find in creating music or art. Is not about perfection. It's about process, about inviting discovery, and inviting us to, well, remix our own thoughts in ways we couldn't predict. Ultimately, what sampling teaches us is this: intelligence at its core isn't static. It's alive. It's dynamic. And that's what makes it meaningful. So, as we bring this conversation to a close, here's something to think about. The most impactful systems of the future won't just calculate or even create. They'll inspire. They'll remind us, in a way, of the beauty and complexity of remixing the world we've inherited to imagine the world we want to build. And that's all for today. Thanks for joining me on this exploration of patterns, creativity, and collaboration. Until next time, take care and keep thinking. Keep creating. We'll be right back.